Hello. This is another one of those annoying mood swings episodes that it's just me on my own sitting in my living room looking at all the YouTube videos I could be watching and being quite sad that I have to do something productive. Not sad. I of course enjoy recording podcasts, otherwise I wouldn't do it. But at this time on a Monday night, I've been up since 5 a.m. I could really do just mulling out, but that is not the attitude. It is time to podcast. So I've been sort of talking about this episode for a couple of weeks now. I said whilst I was in Bangkok that I was going to provide loads of podcasts and blogs all about the experience when I got back, and all I've really done is post a whole load of topless photos of me very, very sweaty in Thailand, topless with other sweaty men. One thing I learned in Thailand, before we go any further, is that even in Thailand, I am sweatier than everyone else, which really is disgusting. I'm kind of tempted to go to a doctor, really, to work out why I excrete, it's a good word, excrete, so much liquid when exercising, or really anything. I remember being in the pub when I was just turned 18, I think, and it was quite a busy night in the pub. I think it was a Thursday, and I don't even know what was going on, but that sounds about right for Montrose, which is where I'm from. Sometimes just on randomly on a fucking Thursday night, the town would be heaving. They called it a Thursday club. Didn't happen every Thursday, but sometimes you'd get it. But yeah, I remember a guy, sort of in between acquaintance and friend, coming up and saying, "All right, Nath, looking as sweaty as I'd expect." And I was like, what do you mean, mate? And he's just like, "Oh, every time I see a photo of you, or I see you out, you look really sweaty. You're a sweaty guy." And I just didn't really know what to say. I was like, "All right, that's fine. That's all good." Not hung up on it at all, as you can tell, that I'm mentioning it nearly 10 years later. Not hung up on it at all. But anyway, yeah, even in Thailand, I am sweatier than everyone else, which is fucking disgusting. When we start training in the afternoon, I think I noticed it more. We'd all start skipping, and there'd be a fucking puddle of sweat beneath me. And when I was hitting pads, like, I could see the pad holders absolutely fucking hating it, because my sweat was flying off everywhere, going all over them, and all over me, and all over the mats. And when I was made to go hit a bag, there'd be like a fucking pool of sweat, like a little puddle of sweat underneath me. It was fucking gross. I don't know what it is about me that causes so much sweat. And in Thailand as well, because it's so hot and you're at such risk of overheating, they make you go and pour ice, like ice water, over yourself in between rounds or in between like little exercises, which of course makes you even more soaking fucking wet. It's like being like swimming pool level wet, except you're doing what should be a dry activity. That's how I would describe training in Thailand in terms of the moisture level. This is the good stuff you've tuned in to hear, me talking about how sweaty I am. Anyway, yeah, before we talk more about Thailand, just want to say a big thanks to everyone for listening, and a big thanks for the response to the Spencer Brown episode. I mean, I knew it was going to be popular because it's an ace episode and Spencer's obviously a really popular guy, especially among who I imagine my audience are, people that are interested in Muay Thai and mental health and stuff. But, you know, I've done a few Muay Thai ones now, so I guessed I would have some following with that. And obviously Spencer is certainly one of the biggest British fighters around at the moment. And yeah, he's a young guy and he's out there doing it, so it's always going to be an interest to people, I would imagine. And I think I was right. So yeah, thanks to everyone for the reaction to that. Thanks to Spencer for being a fucking ace sport during fight week, and you know, still promoting the podcast as well as any guest I've had on, whilst cutting weight and whilst travelling to Australia and doing all that. He was still communicating with me on WhatsApp, and he was still asking, can I get the link, can I get the photos so I can post it? And I mean, that was absolutely brilliant. So yeah, not everyone would do that, go that length ordinarily, just when they're in their day-to-day lives. So for someone to go, you know, to really be on point with the promotion and the social media and stuff whilst cutting weight, whilst trying to promote their own fight, whilst travelling, I've got a lot of respect for that. Really fucking appreciated it. And it just made me reiterate what I already knew, that Spencer was really happy to be on the podcast as well, which is obviously a really nice feeling. Also, I did fix the fucking boiler. If you know, you know. That was hilarious. I might do more. I mean, I never want to be one of those people that talks to their phone, but I've been told by people that maybe I should do more of those little videos of me just talking shite. So maybe I will. I mean, it's worked for Lewis Capaldi. He's now fucking, well, he says he's not rich, but I don't believe him. But he's now well famous, and everyone, you know, almost like a national treasure, especially in Scotland. But I think Lewis Capaldi, his sort of banter or his sort of humour has really come off the sort of Twitter, Instagram, sort of Facebook trend of like that sort of like Scottish stuff being funny. And I don't know how I feel about that. Like just anything, like if Scottish people talk about getting pissed, or like, you know, just like the funny, like you must know what I mean, like the funniest things that happen in Glasgow and Aberdeen, like it's just like things happen in Scotland that you don't really get anywhere else in the world. Like I can't even think of a good example right now, but yeah, Lewis Capaldi sort of followed on from that. So although I do like his music and I think it's great, and he's also a very talented guy, I think a lot of his popularity is down to this sort of, he's become a sort of figurehead for that sort of Scottish internet humour that is very popular on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. And you know, just like, I don't know why that's become so popular. I mean, obviously I like being Scottish and I think being Scottish is great, but I always thought a lot of it was in jokes, but surely like now it seems to have spread to other people. Who knows? I'm not here to talk about this, I'm here to talk about Thailand. So without any further ado, I'll try and get on with that. I said I was going to do a travel diary as well, and I still really want to do that, and I will find the time at some point. And I've decided the travel diary is going to deal more with the sort of day-to-day, what happened, all the events. I'm sure I'll touch on like a few little stories during the podcast as well, but for the podcast I want to talk more about how I felt and before I left, whilst I was there, and since coming back. Since this is the mental health podcast, I'll talk more about my feelings, but obviously there'll be some crossover where I'll tell some stories as well. I'm sure in the travel diary blog thing there'll be some talk of how I was feeling, because I just can't stop talking about my feelings. Okay, so I'm not sure how vocal I was on social media, probably pretty vocal, but I was pretty fucking anxious and nervous about going to Thailand. I got asked a couple of times before I left whether I was considering not going, and I don't think I ever really got to that point, but I definitely, I would say it crossed my mind, but I knew that I would never, there's no way that I would let that happen. Like it was a weird feeling in the week up to it, because I knew Thailand had so much that I wanted to experience, and it was going to, and that it would be amazing. Well, I didn't know that it could be amazing. I knew there was so much in Thailand that I would enjoy, and like, you know, obviously the Muay Thai and just the experience in a new place. The food, I love Thai food, I love spicy food, as everyone knows probably by now. So I knew there was a lot there for me, but I just couldn't shake the sort of overriding feeling that it was too much, or it was a step too far, or something would go wrong. It was a really horrible feeling. I'm not sure how much I talked about this before I left, but we were going to a gym called Kiat Pon Tip, which is just on the outskirts of Bangkok. It's in quite a rural area. It's on like a sort of swamp, jungly bit. So yeah, and then the guys I knew who'd been there before, and I got in touch with a few guys that trained there as well, and they were kind of saying, you know, you've got to be really careful out of this part. I heard there were stories about a lot of lizards and snakes and stuff, and like, you got to be careful. And also, you got to be careful with infection because, well, you're training outside for one, so you know, you're out in the elements. The heat obviously makes it easier to get infections, the amount you're sweating, the amount of bugs and stuff around. Like, it's just more of a risk out there to get infections. And I mean, that really worried me as well. Like, I was worried about what if I get an infection, because when I'm doing Thai boxing, without getting too graphic and like upsetting people, I get quite bad cuts, especially on my feet. My feet quite often, and my toes. I said I wasn't going to get quite graphic, but fuck it. My toes like split in half quite often, and I have to glue them back together. And obviously, like, when you're doing Thai boxing, you're always using your feet, and your feet are obviously bare, so you're always on the mats, and there's all sorts of stuff on mats. Other people sweat, you know, dirt to a certain degree, especially with this gym being outside. Although the mats are cleaned every day, you know, you can't get everything. So that was a big worry for me. Like, what if I get an infection, a horrible infection in my foot or something? And also my knees and stuff tend to get cut as well. So yeah, that really worried me. Before I went out, it was just the usual stuff you get with traveling. Like, what if something goes wrong with a flight? What if I miss a flight? What if delay? Like, all that. Carry on, I think it's kind of normal. And the other big thing was that, you know, was I going to be able to hack the training? Like, was it going to be too much for me? I knew that I'm quite a determined person and quite, I've got a lot of grit. I knew I wouldn't go out there and give up easily, but the one residing factor that I knew might not agree with me was the heat. I'm not the greatest person in the heat. And obviously Thailand, especially at that time of year, is incredibly hot. So yeah, I had that played on me, and kind of before we left for Thailand as well, you know, one of our coaches at the gym, Dan, is Thai, and people were making like the usual kind of jokes. You know, the guys aren't going to train, they're just going to get drunk with piss the whole time. And Dan sort of said, like, you need to go out there and show everyone. So I don't know. I mean, it was quite nice that he said that, but it, it put added pressure on me as well, because I was like, fuck, what if I go out there and the training is really hard and I'm struggling with the heat, or I get ill or something, and then I end up just getting like drunk all the time? Because I love a beer, and I would have been on holiday, but I was on holiday. So, you know, because I mean, I could have gone over there, got an infection in my foot, or got heat exhaustion, not been able to train. Like, medically being unfit to train, and then end up just getting on it. But when I came back to the UK, no one's going to fucking believe that, are they? Everyone's going to be thinking, all right, you had 2 days of training, you sacked it off because it was too hard, and you went on the jolly for the next 10 days, 12 days. And yeah, I wouldn't avoid that, because I care too much what people think, despite what I'm trying to work away from that and become better at it, caring less about what people think of me all the time. But it's a struggle. So, you know, it would have been difficult if I'd appeared to go out to Thailand and not fulfill this sort of the reason I was there. We did almost miss the flight. Became a bit too confident with my traveling abilities. We were sitting drinking pints in the Witherspoons at Edinburgh Airport, and I was like, you know, me and one of the other lads, like, you never go to the gate more than 10 minutes before it closes, before the flight's meant to leave, because there's no point. You just wait around, you get on the plane, you have to sit for ages. We'll leave it till as late as we can. And that didn't really work out too well for us. They were calling last call, they were calling our names through the speakers, they were phoning on mobile phones and telling us, get on the plane or you won't be travelling. We had to run. So that was a good start. The flight wasn't too bad. A lot of people seem to complain about such a long haul flight. I mean, it wasn't great. It's not something I want to do every day, but I've had worse experiences, worse travel. I would say the mega bus from London to Aberdeen is worse than the Qatar Airways flight from Edinburgh to Doha and Doha to Bangkok. Fuck me, the mega bus is probably fucking worse. In fact, definitely is. So yeah, I mean, arrived in Thailand, all good. You don't quite get the heat straight away because you're like in the air-conditioned airport, but you just kind of know what's coming. It's a weird feeling. You're like, I fucking can tell soon I'm going to be absolutely fucking melting. And I remember I went to a toilet as soon as I arrived and sat down the toilet, and even the toilet seat was roasting. I was like, fuck me, like, this is inside. How the fuck is this toilet seat so hot? I mean, it's probably nothing to do with the heat. It was probably just because some big fucking stinker had sat on it 2 minutes before and I hadn't seen him. It was probably to do with that, but, you know, who knows? Yeah, so one of my favourite, not one of my favourite parts of any holiday, but something I've always quite enjoyed is that thing that's typically not meant to be enjoyed when you're in transit between the airport and your destination in the country, the foreign country you've arrived in, which I think is traditionally quite stressful because quite often you don't know where you're going, you don't know the best way to get there, you don't know how much it's going to cost, you're tired from your flight, you just want to get to your place, but you know it's that last stint which is kind of the worst bit. But I remember the first place I went to with my girlfriend, like on a proper holiday without parents and all that, so this is quite a few years ago, but it was Paris. And I remember I really enjoyed like just the bus journey from the airport to like central Paris. Don't know why, just like you see everything's kind of like, I mean, it's just like a motorway. So in so many ways it's similar and the same to what you have back home, but there's just so all like the kind of subtle differences. And it was the same in Thailand, like you just like belting down a motorway, but it's obviously everything around you is so different and you're kind of just like taking in all this sort of half culture, because it's like I say, it's a motorway, it's not like fully cultured, but yeah, you're sort of starting to get a flavour for the place. And I think that's when it sort of really hits that you've travelled. So I kind of like that bit. And this journey was no different. Like on the taxi to get there. And then we arrived at Kiapontip, which was the gym. And I mean, it was quite crazy because like I've seen that place on Instagram and YouTube and all that so much and heard so much about it. And to actually finally be there, it was like really like exciting. And yeah, just look around it and just like just wanted to get started with the training right there and then, to be honest with you. And then like as soon as we arrived, I mean, there wasn't really too many folk about. The main trainer, Yod, shout out to Yod, came out and introduced himself and said like spoke to us, and he was washing his chickens, his cockerels. He was giving them a good giving them their Sunday bath, because we arrived on a Sunday. And we didn't really see anyone else for a bit. Then we went for a walk around the little village bit kind of thing very quickly, and then we came back up and had, is that when we had our dinner? Can't remember, but a couple of the guys came out and said they were just waiting to watch Max Muay Thai, because two lads from the actual gym we were training at were fighting on Max Muay Thai that night, which is quite a big show in Thailand, in Pattaya. So this was like the first really like cool thing that happened in Thailand, was just like sitting in the little canteen kitchen bit of the gym with all these guys we'd just met, watching people we were just about to meet fight on this like huge Thai show. It's been shown on Thai TV, do you know what? So it was really cool, and all the Thais that were at the gym and do like the cooking and stuff, and we're all there, all watching on the TV, and they're all like absolutely loving the watching the Muay Thai and seeing their fighters fight. So that was quite cool, and that was kind of when you started to really get like a feel of what the place was all about. And yeah, I mean, at this point it was all just sort of coming at me really quick. Like, it's hard to explain. Yeah, it was kind of what I expected, but also I felt very surreal because I couldn't believe we were actually there. And then we spoke to some of the guys. There was two lads from Liverpool there, Dom and Liam, who we became quite pally with quite quickly. And they just kind of said, yeah, if you want to run with us lads, 6 a.m. tomorrow out the front. And yeah, so we kind of had something to eat and went to sleep and then up at 6 a.m. And I mean, like, I think in the UK, to get up at 6 a.m. to run, it's like, nothing sounds fucking worse. But because it was Thailand and because it was excited to get going and get training, it was pretty fucking easy to get up, to be honest. I can't remember whether I slept much that first night. Sleep definitely became an issue later on, but getting up at 6 a.m. was like fucking, yeah. And then we took a little walk to, like, at the start of the run, just, you know, walking down to where we start running from, and I just remember me saying to the guys, like, fucking famous last words, well, I'm not struggling with the heat too much. So far, like, I thought I'd be a lot worse. I was great in the heat. And they just said, wait till you train in it, mate. And I was like, oh, God. And I was like, oh, hopefully. I was like, surely training in it will be better than just, like, standing about it, because at least you're doing something you enjoy, like, you know. And they just said, just wait. And, yeah, I couldn't have heeded that warning less than I did. I thought, I'll be fine. Went for the run. The run was quite warm, but, I mean, it's quite not quite as hot at that time of day. In the morning, obviously 6 a.m. so the run wasn't too bad. It was quite cool running through, you know, as you can imagine, running through Thailand. And we got back to the gym and you're just like straight into training, and fuck me, the heat is an absolute game changer. I think I immediately struggled, and I think one of the hardest parts about the heat is, like, I mean, I don't think you can ever really know what it's like unless you go out and experience it. And I think you'd always underestimate how much it fucks you. I certainly did. And like I say, I knew going out that I wasn't great in the heat. I trained quite hard before I left, trying to get fit for Thailand. And yeah, I don't think anything could have prepared me for it. It was like, and I remember my coach Owen saying that to me with a big wry smile on his face, saying, nothing will prepare you for that heat. He's like, be as fit as you can possibly be before you go out. It might help, well, it will help a bit, but nothing's going to prepare you for that heat. And he's right. And this is one of the main things I want to talk about. But it's a complete game changer mentally, training like that, because, like, back home, training at the gym here or at gyms around the UK, normally, like, you know, you're hitting your pads or you're in your sparring or whatever, and you feel, like, good. Not always. Sometimes everyone has bad days, and I'm probably worse for that than most. And obviously in sparring, you always spar people that are better than you. Maybe get a bit of a kick in, which isn't a great feeling, but I don't know. You always feel, when you're hitting the pads and that, you always feel kind of, like, fit and pretty, like, you know, it's kind of, if you're conditioned to over here, it's not effortless, but it's certainly not what it's like over there, where it's just like every punch, every kick, every knee, it absolutely sucks. I mean, like, I think by day three I was able to get through, like, the first round of pads still feeling decent. That first day was absolutely killer. Hit pads, obviously, it was, like, amazing fun. It's like a duality thing as well, like, not the Slipknot song, but you feel like it's amazing to be out there training in Thailand, and, like, that feels so cool, and, you know, the actual standard training is so ace. But also, like, it sucks so much because you're so hot and it's so exhausting. And as I say, like, you have to drink so much water, and they're pouring ice water over you to cool you down, and just, like, it's all a total culture shock, I suppose. At times, like, used to train at a cold gym in Scotland where people, like, you know, are wrapped up sometimes in tights and stuff, or, you know, wearing jumpers to keep themselves warm for the first few rounds. And then over there, you're topless and your tiny little tie shorts, and even that, like, is absolutely killer. And then I remember clinching, just, like, being absolutely fucked. And my friend Dom, one of the guys from Liverpool, just saying to one of the Thai coaches, oh, he ran to, he's doing good, and then just feeling like absolute death. So that was the Monday. We trained again in the afternoon. The afternoon was even worse. Yeah, start off with half an hour skipping in the afternoon. I fucking hate skipping. I'm terrible at it. I'm working at it to get better, but I'm so crap at it. And then, yeah, training in the afternoon, and that was absolute killer again. And then sat down and had our evening meal, and that was kind of the day. Another thing I forgot to mention is you sort of like have to sleep after. So you get up, you train, you have your breakfast, and then it's like time to go back to bed. And obviously people nap in the UK and stuff, but like not that, not like so early in the day, like up, okay, it's 10 a.m, back to bed, and then you go to sleep, and then you get up and eat again, and then yeah, it's time to go train again. It's almost like every day is like split in sort of two. It's quite odd. So then, yeah, trained in the afternoon again on Monday. Still felt okay, enjoying it. And as I say, like, the one thing I didn't mention there that I meant to was that, like, when you're back home training and stuff, there's always everyone is kind of encouraging each other and, like, you know, oh, you're doing really well. When you're training in Thailand, like, the coaches are ace, but especially for that first couple of days, like, you can see them sort of chatting to each other in Thai about you and, like, laughing at, like little mistakes, like flaws in your technique or little mistakes you're making, or just how fucked you are because of the heat, and they find it funny, and they like pushing you harder and harder. And for those first couple of days, like, that's quite tough mentally, because I think for me, like, I wasn't performing as well as I wanted to out there. I felt like I was crap, like I felt like a total beginner, because I just felt like I couldn't perform in that heat. And as I said earlier in the podcast, that was one of my concerns, was like, is this going to be too much for me, this training in this heat with like this level, this intensity, like, is it going to be too much? So like, for it to go out there and for it to be not too much but on the verge of that, where, and feeling like it was really, really difficult, that obviously played on the anxiety I already had about those things. So yeah, that was quite tough. And also it's annoying when people are speaking about you in a language you don't understand. So yeah, the first couple of days were the worst for that. I think after the first couple of days, you start to get to know the trainers a bit, and then if they see you keep pushing yourself, you get a bit of an easier time, not in terms of on the pads or the agile training, just like they take the piss maybe a little bit less. But then I don't understand Thai, so it could have been all of this could have been in my head, or the fact that they stopped taking the piss could be totally made up. But yeah, the first couple of days were the worst for that. On the Tuesday morning, I got up, ran again with the guys, and trained again. And about halfway through that training session, 45 minutes into it, I just started to feel really not well, like really crap. But as I said earlier, I like to think I'm full of grit and determination, and I did not want to cop out of training, so I kept pushing myself. But then people start to say, are you alright, or you don't look great, which is like, if you know you're feeling like shit anyway, that's like the worst thing that can happen. Well, it's obviously good people are showing concern, and a bit of a relief, like, oh, at least I look shit because I feel shit. But also, you know, if you look shit, and you, like, there's probably something wrong, and it's not just you're struggling with that the morning training. So yeah, after that, we were doing weights at the end as well, and I had to stop doing the weights because I just couldn't trust myself to lift them over my head. I thought I could pass out and easily drop this on my head. So yeah, after that we went and had a shower and went through for breakfast, and everyone again is like, you really don't look right, mate. So I'm sitting at this breakfast table, and yep, sure enough, I started eating my tofu and rice for my breakfast and my Thai omelette, and then after about two or three mouthfuls, I had to get up And my plan was just to go and sit in my room for 2 seconds, the aircon on, and cool down and just see, take stock and see how I felt. I got about 3 steps out the door of the kitchen and I like literally fell to my knees and just fucking threw up everywhere. And like, it was just completely like, so all the water that I'd obviously drank during training, so you're drinking like ice cold water during training, it obviously all just sat on my stomach. And with me not feeling well, well, fuck knows what caused it, but it came flying out of me. I went back into the kitchen afterwards and told them all that I'd been sick, and they're like, right, sit down, try and eat something. And then after that, totally lost my train of thought. After that, go back to the shower, have a cold shower, and then get straight in your bed with the aircon on and get some rest. And then they pretty much all just warned me about the dangers of getting heat exhaustion, and kind of told me not horror stories, but told me like how easy it is, and that they'd all, a few of them had had it before.
Fucking, he's actually lost control.
Now that was a double play of the legendary Tuk Tuk crash. And much like the statement at the start of that little message, I did lose control. Last night when I was recording the podcast, my throat got very, very dry, so I decided to take a brief pause whilst I got a sip of water, and then before I knew it, my girlfriend returned home. And I was completely thrown off what I've been doing, so I just stopped, I'm not going to lie. I mean, she's due back any minute right now, so really it's probably inappropriate of me to start recording again, but I have. So, apologies for that. Yeah, I believe I was talking about being sick at Kiap on Tip. I think that's where I left off. So apologies if I repeat myself, but yeah, I got told to get into my bed with the aircon on and lie there for a few hours. Which is what I did. Fell asleep, I think. I can't really remember. Just lay there sipping water, feeling like absolute death. For a few hours, and then I think I got back up just before dinner time and had a bit of a walk around, and then had my dinner and felt better. And everyone was kind of said, "Oh, like maybe don't train in the morning. Wait and see how you feel." So I woke up in the morning, decided I wouldn't run, but would try and train. I trained the next day, felt fine. But I mean, it was pretty tough going. Like the thoughts were going through my head as I lay. The thoughts that went through my head as I was lying in my bed. No, the thoughts that went through my head as I was lying in my bed, not feeling like I might have made myself ill on day two. Were not great. As I kind of said already, I'd had concerns about the heat being too much and something stopping me from being able to train. So yeah, it wasn't a great feeling. I started to get all these horrible thoughts. Like, probably relevant was that when I was quite young, I went to America and I dehydrated out there within a few days and had to go to hospital. So I had all this kind of going on in my mind, like, oh, you're going to dehydrate yourself again. You're going to have to go to hospital. You're going to ruin this fucking holiday. So all that was flying through my mind as I kind of lay in this mattress in a bed in a gym up in, you know, the beautiful outskirts of Bangkok, just lying there feeling like, oh God, I've ruined this for myself. But yeah, fortunately, you know, got back to it Wednesday morning, just trained once Wednesday, had the rest of the day to chill, and then by Thursday I was back to training twice a day. And I trained twice Thursday and Saturday and trained once Friday. So yeah, but the worst part of that whole thing was definitely the mental side, where I thought that I'd potentially absolutely fucked it, and that, I don't know, you just got all these horrible thoughts. It was so early in the holiday as well that if I had got ill, like seriously ill, you know, I mean I think nothing makes you want to be home with people that you trust, I suppose, and people that you know care for you, and then like just with your home comforts around and stuff, than being ill. Like, you just want to be home, and then for, you know, in a probably in a country that isn't, at that point was still strange, you know, you want to be somewhere where you feel completely in control, I guess. And 2 days into Thailand, you know, having experienced not that much of it yet, still kind of culture shock to be thinking I could be potentially ill. I mean, obviously at this point I was catastrophizing. I'd only had been like, you know, thrown up once, and it was because of quite intense exercise and overheating. I just like thrown up water. It wasn't like I was being violently, repeatedly sick. So I was catastrophizing and I was over exaggerating it in my mind, but it didn't stop me from all these thoughts flooding through my head and, yeah, lying in a mattress just trying to get some sort of half sleep in the middle of the day is not the best place to try and be alone with. It's not the best place to be alone with your thoughts when they're like that. I had planned to do this the whole 2 weeks of Thailand in one podcast, and I don't think I've managed, or have, or I'm going to manage. I think I've got about 5 minutes left. I have put out a question and answer thing on Instagram. A couple of people have sent in questions, and I shall answer them. I mean, only two of them are sensible. One, which I'll leave to the end, is ridiculous. What was your biggest challenge during the trip? Is one question. Probably the training, like just the sheer physical hell, and like there was a lot that went along with that that I've already spoken about in terms of, you know, not feeling like you're performing to my best. But yeah, I mean, the training really was the difficult bit, but obviously that was amazing satisfaction at the end of every session. And like I say, the way that your day is structured out there is, you know, you train and then you have a shower, then there's a maybe, I'd say anywhere from between half an hour to an hour of where nothing really happens. Everyone just kind of goes back to their room, and then everyone gets called for dinner, and it's just a nice feeling getting to sit with the guys. And I mean, the food that they made us at the gym was absolutely delicious. And because I'm vegetarian, I got more than everyone else as well, which was great, because the weight was absolutely falling off me anyway, so I could eat as much as I wanted. And yeah, that was like amazing to sit out with the guys after you've all trained together and just sit and have a meal. So although that was like the biggest challenge out there, was definitely the training. And the other thing I suppose to talk about is that, like, I always thought that when I went out of town to train, it would be the trainers would be absolutely harassing you to train and like rattling on your door to get you up to run, or, you know, come on, come and train, come and train. And I think maybe they're a little bit like that if you're fighting for the gym. They'll try and motivate you, but it wasn't like that for us in terms of people who just paid to train. I mean, they don't really, to say they don't care would be a bit of a brash term, but they don't like harass you to get up in the morning or to go along in the afternoon train. And I mean, it is tough, like, to train, and I think a lot of people probably would. I mean, before I went, my trainer said that he knew loads of people who go out to Thailand and they would just train once, and then after that they would just not train again and just go drinking. And I could see how that would easily happen, you know. So I think it was harder. One of the biggest challenges was to motivate yourself to train, because although it was really enjoyable and that was what we were there to do, it was hard. And you knew it was going to be tough. It wasn't like you got halfway through a session and thought, fuck, geez, you know, this is tough. You knew going in it was going to be really hard. You knew it was going to suck. So to push yourself, to motivate yourself to do it, that was probably the biggest challenge, to be fair, rather than actually doing it, was to really get that motivation to do it. But as I say, the satisfaction of having done it and just sit and have your meal at the end of the day, it was all worth it. And that was one of the best. The training was amazing. But my next question is sort of linked to this one as well. Anyway, it's my favourite part of the trip or my worst part of the trip. We'll do the negative side first. Worst part of the trip. Getting ill wasn't great, as I said, even though it was just half a day. That was quite tough. I've already talked quite extensively about, you know, how that mentally draining that was. The other thing that was the worst part was that I think we were overzealous with how long we decided to stay on Koh San Road the second week, and I'll get more into this in the second part of the Bangkok podcast, which will now be coming at you, because I've totally fucked this and thought I could do it on one and I can't. Yeah, we stayed on Koh San Road for like Okay, so a couple of worst things. One of the worst things was that it was the King's Coronation, the start of the second week. So a lot of stuff was shut, which meant we were kind of limited to what we could do in Koh San Road for the first couple of nights was kind of closed off. So like everyone was like, wait till you see Koh San Road, it's going to be crazy. And then we got there and nothing was going on. It was all shut. So yeah, we kind of lost that impact of seeing how crazy Koh San Road would be. So that kind of sucked. But then we went out in other part of Thailand anyway, and it was absolutely brilliant. The other thing about Koh San Road that kind of sucked was, but I mean, it's a nice place for a couple of days, but we had 8 nights there, and by the end of it, like, it was just getting a bit tiring. If you've ever been there, you'll know, like, the tuk-tuk driver, everyone's trying to sell you stuff and shouting at you. And because we were there for so long, and because we were going around with boxing gloves and stuff on our bag, quite a lot of the vendors and the tuk-tuk drivers got to know us, and so we were kind of like prime target for their chat. And it's just like any, I think it's like any busy place in the earth like that, it gets, can get tiring quite quick. The best part of the trip, I mean, again, there's like a few things. The training was brilliant. I mean, I said I've complained about how much it was difficult, but at the same time it was absolutely incredible. But I think the best thing was that first week at Koh San, Kiap Bon Tip, was meeting all the guys and just making like friends pretty much instantly. And although like we didn't stay at Kiap Bon Tip the second week, those guys came into Koh San to like go drink with us, essentially hang out. But they did that a few times, and we saw them out at one championship we went to, which was another amazing thing to be out there for. So yeah, that was part of the residing thing for me, was the people that I met out in Bangkok, and like met two guys from Liverpool who stayed in touch with, met people from Peru, people from Canada, people from Sweden, and like I feel like I could probably hopefully we'll stay in touch with most of those people. Obviously met people from Thailand and got to train with all these Thai people, and yeah, it was amazing meeting people and going over the other side of the world and finding friends so quickly, because we weren't there that long. And I've been to, like, you know, for instance, Paris and Barcelona and stuff a bunch of times, and never really met anyone new or made any like people that I thought would be friends I would stay in touch with. And in Taiwan that happened a few times, you know, so that was amazing. I really loved that. Other things like the food, the relaxed way of life, the people there. I mean, there was an Indian, it's the last thing I'm going to say on this half, but there was a little Indian restaurant I went to 4 times. It was just owned by, the only people I saw working there was like a little family, a mum and a dad and a teenage son. They made the best vegetarian Indian food I've possibly ever had. It was just a little cafe with like little, you know, crappy tables, and it was hardly ever anyone in it, and there was no aircon. It was like half outside with like fans. But it had great Wi-Fi. They knew how to serve up a cold chang, and it was just dead peaceful. Just off Koh San Road, it was so peaceful. And yeah, I went there a few times for either lunch or from. I think I went twice for lunch and twice for dinner. And yeah, it was brilliant sitting there. The last question I got was, how much was a ladyboy? I'm not sure, mate. I never got a ladyboy. I think there's probably plenty of ladyboys that can be acquired just using your charm. And I think if you negotiate, you could probably get the love of a ladyboy for quite a reasonable price. But it's not a route I went down. But if you're interested, rest assured it's easy enough. So if you're going over there, I'm not going to name the person that asked this question, someone very close to me, but if you're going over there and you're interested in ladyboys, rest assured that you'll be well catered for. Okay, yeah, like I say, it's going to be a two-parter at least. I think now underestimated how much I'd have to say. I hope you've enjoyed it. If you haven't and you want me to shut up, you can get me on all the usual places. And yeah, thanks so much for listening, and I'll be back probably next week with another section on this Bangkok adventure. Cheers.